I know what it's like to be dead. I know what it is to be sad.
Kicking off the hour, though, we are so excited to have on the program a man who's been making great music for a long time. He released earlier this year his 18th album, Call Me Lucky, and he'll be appearing in Maine at two venues this weekend, Friday at the Strand in Rockland and on Saturday at the Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield. Chris Smither joins us this afternoon. Chris, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. How you doing, guys?
We're doing great. I love the new album, and of course, I love your stuff. I've loved it for years, but you do such a great take on covers. They're not even covers. That version of She Said, She Said, and Maybelline from the new album, it's a complete reimagining of those songs.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun to do them. You know, and the She Said, She Said, I've been looking for a chance to do that because about 3 years ago, I was asked to do a John Lennon tribute. They have an annual John Lennon night, I think, in New York at the Beacon Theater, or I forget exactly where it was, but they asked me to do it, and I said, sure, I'd love to be a part of it. And they said, well, can you come up with two John Lennon songs? And so I started working on them, and that was one of them. And then I had, like, a medical emergency. I had to cancel on them, and I never got a chance to play the song. And so when we sat down to do this record, you know, my producer said, what else you got? And I said, hey, let's do this.
So you go in the studio. First of all, the album recorded in Texas. How did that impact the sound?
Well, you know, it's not so much that it's in Texas as the fact is that it was a wonderful studio and it was isolated. You know, it's one of these sort of residential studios. You move in, you know, they've got, you know, 4-star accommodations. We had a chef. It was really great. I mean, it was like being staying at a resort, you know. And we would get up in the morning and sort of wander into the studio and work until we couldn't work anymore, and then go back to bed. And everybody was taking care of us. It was pretty amazing. And then we sort of looked up 10 days later, and we had a record done.
Well, Chris, this is Bruce. On this record, on every record you've ever made, you have such a signature style with your guitar. So many people for years thought you played slide guitar. What has allowed you to be so creative as a guitar player, in addition to being such a creative songwriter? I mean, it's not just like most people fuse it. You've got two things going.
Thanks. And first of all, thank you for the compliment. But I think part of what makes me a better guitar player is the realization that I'm not a very good guitar player. I just keep working at it. You know, I used to think of myself as a guitar player originally, and then I started meeting people who were really, really guitar players. And I learned to scale back my estimation of my own abilities and how to ask them questions about what they were doing. And you know, on top of that, there's a certain amount of fakery going on. You know, you hear things on records that you think, oh, God, how did he do that? You know, how did he do that? How did she do that? And so you try to figure it out. And in the process, you come up with a way of, it's not quite the same, you know, but you almost get it. But in the process, you sort of develop something that has value in its own right. And so it's sort of keeps you inventive that way. It's almost better not to know exactly how they did it, because it leaves you the room to develop something of your own.
Well, you've been on the road now for a long time, and it doesn't seem, whenever I get the chance to see you, that you've wearied of it at all. What is it that makes you still want to go out and play, not just make records, but get out and play?
Well, you know, in a way, playing is what I love to do. The performance is what everything else is in service to. It's just what I do, you know. I've gotten older now, and so often in January and February, I take like a month off and don't go out. And I realize that I don't become a very pleasant person. You'd think the rest would help me, but it doesn't, you know. And I get itchy, and I'm not even certain why, because, you know, in one part of my mind, I'm thinking, no, I don't want to go back to work. And then the gigs come up, you know, and I go out and I spend a couple of weeks on the road. And I realize after the first night, this is what I do. You know, this is, you know, I write the songs and I make the records so that I can go out and play. You know, and so that it doesn't get boring and it doesn't get old. But what I'm really looking for is a chance to perform. And the performance has to do partly has to do with my own sense of satisfaction, but it's also a thing of feeling useful. You know, and the older you get, the more you need to feel useful so people don't think you're in the way. But it's a process where if I can see that people are happier when they leave my show than they were when they came in, then I feel like I've accomplished something, you know. And it's just, that's good for anybody's state of mind, you know. It's what makes life worth living to feel like you're actually doing something.
We're talking with Chris Smither on Downtown. He'll be at the Strand in Rockland Friday night, Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield on Saturday. The new album, like any Chris Smither album, it contains great music, but I mean, I've always been a fan of your lyrics, and they're so good. As a writer, is it the kind of thing where you hear a turn of a phrase, you hear a snippet of dialogue somewhere and sort of tuck it away and say, that's got to go in a song at some point? How does that work for you?
That has happened, you know, and I do make little notes of things, you know, as time goes on. And I'm not a person who sits and writes songs all the time. I write specifically for projects, you know. I get to the point where it's time to make a new record, you know, and then I sort of sit down and start writing the songs, and I have to get disciplined all of a sudden, which is contrary to my actual nature, and I sit there and work at it. But essentially, you know, I'm a word person to begin with. That's, you know, when you mention lyrics, I mean, that's the part of the song, that's the part of the records that occupies me the most. You know, the music is relatively easy to come by, and actually I'm mining, you know, a lot of veins musically that has been around for years. I mean, that's why I got into folk music in the first place. There's sort of a standard feel to it, but the lyrics are where I really feel like I'm exercising my brain, and it's something that I love to do. I'm just into words, and the whole concept of, I mean, rhyme, the rhyme aspect of writing songs is, I find it extremely interesting how the rhyme can suggest where the song ought to go. And it's a process, you know. I don't even know what the song is about when I start it, and often the song is half finished before I understand what's going on, you know. And it's sort of a free-flowing thing that, and all of a sudden I'll look at it and recognize, oh, I'll say, okay, here's what he's trying to say. and then I can sort of let my left brain take over and get analytic about it. But before that, it's almost a mysterious, mystical process that I'm best not interfered with.
Our producer, Carrie Haskell's got a favorite song, and we all have a favorite song of yours, but Carrie, what's yours, and maybe Chris can tell the story behind it.
Yeah, one of the songs that I always loved of yours is Origin of Species. And I couldn't remember the exact detail, but the story of sort of where that song came from, the process for you in writing it.
Well, originally, you know, back when I had real plans for my life, I was going to be an anthropologist. and as such, you know, I'm a huge fan of Darwin's. And, you know, I just got started one day. You know, I can't remember. There may have been some particular impetus to it at some point, some specific thing, but in general, you know, evolution and Darwin has always been something that has fascinated me. And I'm also abundantly dismayed by the lack of respect that the fact of evolution gets in the general educational process in this country. So I just thought I'd write some snarky little piece about it. You
know? When you, excuse me, Chris Bruce, when you look back, you had success when you were young. I mean, you had some real success in the Boston scene and with Bonnie Raitt cutting tunes and stuff. And right. So many people got a good start, and then they just disappeared. What do you think is the real key to the longevity of your career, besides being good? You're good, man. I've always known that. But what are the things you've done that have enabled you to have such a long and such a great career?
Well, I quit drinking. That was that was.
I do recall
help,
that.
You know, but you know you can't underestimate the value of the people that you work with. My management and my agency, all those people I finally, you know, and my producers, you know, the people that have wound up working with me in the studio, all of those people have everything to do with what has happened. I think of myself mainly as the locomotive, you know, pulling a long train, you know, and the locomotive can only do so much. It provides the sheer power, you know, behind it. But in terms of direction, who's steering it, who's keeping the wheels oiled, who's making decisions about what kind of freight you're going to carry, you know, all of that is done by people who are that you have to learn to trust. And not only do you have to trust them, but you've got to, in a way, you have to listen to them. You know, you have to pay attention because, you know, there are certain skills that are required to keep you alive in the market. And when you're young, you can do it by yourself. When it gets to be too much for you to do by yourself, these people start to show up. And your job is to figure out which of them are full of bull and which of them have something to offer, you know. And then when you find the ones that have something to offer, you have to pay attention to them. You can't ignore them. You can't say, no, I don't want to do that.
Well, that train is still chugging along, and we're so glad because we're all big fans. Love your work through the years. Excited that you'll be in Maine this Friday and Saturday night. The new album, Call Me Lucky, is terrific as well. Chris Smither, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
It's a pleasure. It's good to talk to you again, Bruce.
It's good to talk to you, and give my best to Carol.
I will.
That's Chris Smither on Downtown Friday night at the Strand in Rockland, Saturday, Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield.